Friday, February 13. First reading from 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 29 through 32, and chapter 12, verse 19. Jeroboam left Jerusalem, and the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on the road. The two were alone in the area, and the prophet was wearing a new cloak. Ahijah took off his new cloak, tore it into 12 pieces, and said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces for yourself. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I will tear away the kingdom from Solomon's grasp and will give you 10 of the tribes. One tribe shall remain to him for the sake of David my servant and of Jerusalem, the city I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." Israel went into rebellion against David's house to this day. Haydock Commentary. Jeroboam would not probably go unattended, and it seems this transaction soon transpired and came to the ears of Solomon. He tore the garment into parts. He spoke by his actions, thus foretelling what should happen, as was customary with the prophets. See Hosea 1:2, Jeremiah 27:2, Ezekiel 12:7, and Acts 21:11. This tended to make a deeper impression on the mind and convince all that what was spoken was not in jest. The Gospel from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears, and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned, and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ, in the cure of this man, uses many and various actions, but as of their own nature they are no ways equal to such a cure. They show, first, that the cure was miraculous, and secondly, the virtue which his divinity communicated to his sacred body. We must not suppose that our Savior here groaned on account of any difficulty he experienced in working this miracle, but only from commiseration for the man whom he was about to heal, as likewise to show how very difficult is the cure of those who are spiritually deaf and dumb by sin. He was affected in a similar manner when he raised Lazarus to life, to show with what difficulty a man dead and buried in sin by evil habits can arise from that miserable state. So says Dennis the Carthusian.